Welcome to the My Crazy Office podcast with the authors of Working With You Is Killing Me, Working For You Isn't Working For Me, and Mean Girls at Work, Kathy Elster and Catherine Crowley. They're committed to creating world peace one crazy office at a time. And now, here are Kathy and Catherine.
Hey everyone, I'm Kathy Elster.
And I'm Catherine Crowley, and welcome to My Crazy Office.
So today we're going to talk about bias, your biases.
Yeah.
We have one question that involves bias about weight, and another question that discusses your bias based on race. So, yeah, I'm a little afraid of this.
Well, bias is a touchy topic. And you and I gave a talk, Kathy, actually, and one of the opening things we said was that everyone has biases. We all have them.
That's right.
But we don't like to admit it, and it can be embarrassing to show it.
Yes.
And it can be very hurtful to experience it.
It really is. All right, Logan, our first question.
Okay. I work in the real estate development division of a major bank, and I recently had a disturbing meeting with my boss. He said that he's very happy with my performance and would like to give me more opportunities, including more client contact, but he said it would be much easier if I could shave off a few pounds.
Ugh.
I was speechless. What do I say to this kind of comment, and how do I handle it for myself?
You know, on one hand, it's insulting. On the other hand, it's kind of refreshing that he actually told the truth.
Laid it out.
Right. Yeah, laid it out, what it is you have to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because I think many people wonder, what did I do wrong, or what do I have to do, and they're never told.
Right.
I mean, I wonder what a few pounds means, right. You know.
So you want to go back for some details?
Well, no. I mean, I
10 pounds, 20 pounds.
I mean, there's a difference between 100 pounds and 10 pounds. I don't know
right.
what.
Right,
but,
right.
But the thing about this is, I mean, some people who are heavy carry their weight very well.
Yes.
And they dress well. So I think it's more probably that it just doesn't look good on this person. They're not wearing it well.
Oh, that's a good point, Kathy.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. I mean, there are a couple of things. First is I think you're going to have, one would have a strong internal reaction to this comment, no matter what the reason is, right? No matter if you're 30 pounds just or 10 pounds or you just don't wear it well, the feelings are going to be really intense. And they would range from anger to embarrassment to shame.
Humiliation.
Yeah. Right. It's a really tough message to receive.
Yes.
And it probably also, if you are afraid that you're overweight or you're afraid that people are judging you, it confirms your worst fear.
Yeah.
So I think there's some self-management that you have to do first, right? Or going out of the block. And sharing it is a good first step with others. But I think there's probably some processing you need to do, which we don't have to go into. I'm just saying I think that kind of a comment is a really tough one to receive, to take in.
Yeah. I mean, I wonder if... anyone ever does receive that kind of well? Probably not, right?
What do you mean, receive that?
Probably not. Yeah. Especially if weight is something that somebody struggled with their entire life,
right.
And then to hear it from an employer, it's like...
I don't know anybody who...
who would welcome that kind of a comment.
No, and very often people who are heavy are harder on themselves and harder on other heavy people than less overweight people. Mm-hmm.
Right. Hmm. Well, I'm thinking of, I used to work with this career coach, Paul Bernard, and he would tell men when they wore hair pieces, he would say, it's really obvious.
Uh-huh.
So you should know that. So either get rid of it or go get a better one. You know,
right.
And he felt it was his responsibility. And he said that people handled it really well and did something about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I
well, they were paying him to help them get work, right?
Well, isn't the boss doing the same thing?
Well, he's giving information. Yeah, so after you lick your wound, so to speak, or, you know, recover, unhook physically is probably what we would say, right? Where you go and take a walk and or run or go to a spa or go cry and eat Haagen-Dazs. Whatever you need to do to release. And then
don't eat Haagen-Dazs if you were just told.
Well, but you never know what
it'll
could be
soothing.
It'll
be your last pint. That's it. Yes. No more.
But once you have those feelings, yes, you could look back and say, okay, this person is trying to help me.
Right.
And then make a decision of what you want to say. I'm just saying that I don't think you can, this is an example where you have to strike where the iron is cool. Like you have to calm yourself down first before making a decision of what to do.
I mean, there's many ways to look at this. One is, I think you're going to be hurt and it's an insult. But on the other hand, there is something you can do about it.
Right.
Unless
right.
you have a serious medical problem, there probably is something you could do about it.
Yeah.
So this person is actually telling you something you need to know. You may have already known that,
right.
but not done anything about it. So I think the answer is to say, you know, thank you for the constructive criticism. I'm working on it.
Uh-huh.
That it, and I appreciate that you had the guts to tell me. I think
yeah.
that that w- and then if you actually did something about it, you would really be respected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But to even, you know, I just don't think you can argue it if, in fact, it's true. I mean, if you're super thin and then you're dealing with a person that has,
right,
you know, anorexia, a real issue, that's something else.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this is the kind of thing that's very rarely said.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it does hold people back.
It does. In fact, there are some statistics that people who are overweight receive fewer promotions, honestly.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, than people who are... I don't know what we call not overweight.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
There is a prejudice, absolutely. And there yeah. is a thing I think about being seen publicly when you're, if you're overweight, that would, could hold you back. And certainly mm-hmm. for certain visual industries,
right?
Where
exactly.
they're very concerned about appearance.
Well, I think if also if you have customer contact, mm-hmm. so, you know, like this is a bank in real estate, they probably have to go out with clients.
Yeah.
So that matters. This particular person cares about that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's tough. This is really tough.
Yeah.
There is fat shaming out there. There's a lot of that.
Yes. Yeah.
And there is a bias in the workplace towards heavy people.
Right. So I guess the other choice you would have is if you say, well, I want to be accepted as I am, then this, you may have to make another decision. Right.
Right.
Which is
find another position,
find another job.
Right.
You may have to.
If it doesn't,
because I know some people who just want to be accepted as they are. They don't mm-hmm. want to have to change the way mm-hmm. they look. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
So you have to sort of figure out where you stand. If ultimately you want to go forward in this company and you want to go forward with this job, and as you say, you can get to a point where you appreciate the feedback and want to use it mm-hmm. for your betterment, that's mm-hmm. one way to go.
What are you thinking, Kathy?
I mean, it's kind of upsetting to me, actually, because I think that...
it's not fair.
It's not fair.
Right.
And it's a real judgment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is. And yet, as you say, it just shows that people are judging all the time.
They really are.
We have in one of our books, in Working For You Isn't Working For Me, remember we had this character called the Unconscious Discriminator?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I would say this person may be, the boss may be something like that. It's not, his intention is not to say anything harmful.
Right.
He's just giving feedback of this is how you could move forward in this company.
See, right. You know, you think he's unconscious. I think he put a lot of effort into saying that.
Ah. Mm.
That was my thought, is that this person really wanted to help them.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, he didn't give them the phone number of a dietitian or, you know, a doctor.
Weight Watchers membership.
Right.
He's just letting them know that you should do something about your appearance.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Again, we don't really know what the situation is, what a few pounds are. But it's kind of sad. I mean... I think that it does matter how you present yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So again, I don't think that everyone who's heavy looks heavy. I think it's the way right. you carry yourself and it's the way you dress.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So another thing would be to get some help with that?
I think so. With your appearance? Yeah. I think if you had somebody really helping you to...
Like a Bridget Reyes, right?
Right. Who's been on the podcast. Just somebody who knows how, and I know that she does this, helps people find clothing that is flattering to them.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And then if you are super presentable and you have a style,
yeah.
then it's, and it doesn't have to be expensive, mm-hmm. then it may not go as noticed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's a good point. And I also think that it's that interesting thing that if you really embrace the size that you are mm-hmm. and, you know, mm-hmm. it sounds corny, but if you become more loving towards yourself and mm-hmm. so maybe take care of yourself better,
mm-hmm.
not
mm-hmm.
even necessarily losing weight, but maybe working out or dressing in a certain way or getting assistance with feeling better inside, that it could reflect on the outside.
Yeah. So, I mean, for me, the immediate reaction is get some help.
Uh-huh.
You know, either, you know, it doesn't have to cost a lot, but it's worth finding out how you can look better so that you are perceived in a better light.
Right. Mm-hmm. So we're basically saying this bias is unfair. We know mm-hmm. that's unfair. We're sorry it's there. But if you experience this kind of discrimination, basically, and you know that shaving off a few pounds will help you to get the help to at least even package yourself better in a way that can help you.
It would be nice if we could just shave it off, too. Right. I love that statement. Just like, it's easy. Here's a blade.
Right.
Shave it off. No, it takes a long time.
Or drop a few pounds, right?
Right.
Yeah, like it's just going to go. All right, I'm depressed. Let's take a commercial break and we'll come back with another depressing question.
Ever feel like you or your company could use a 20-minute therapy session? Well, K-Squared has your back. Simply download a K-Talk, plug in those ear pods, or gather a group of your coworkers and feel better instantly. Well, almost. Each K-Talk covers a specific topic and costs a fraction of what a traditional therapy session would. Feeling stressed by your workload? There's a K-Talk for that. Working with someone who's done you wrong? There's a K-Talk for that. Can't ask for a raise, need a vacation, hate your boss? K-Talk, K-Talk, K-Talk. Just go to ksquaredenterprises.com and purchase the K-Talk that fits your situation. Now back to our show.
Okay, welcome back, everyone. What's our second question, Logan?
I work at a security company as the nighttime manager of customer service. The other day, I got wind of a situation where one of the top executives had his iPad stolen, and another manager told me that they were saying I was probably the one who stole it. My colleague overheard one of the execs refer to me as the Latino and make a joke about how those people will take anything and try to resell it. I feel like I need to address the situation, and I really resent being pegged as someone who would take anything from the company. What do I do?
That's so awful.
Yeah.
Ugh. Well,
Kathy, your face when I was reading this is like
so depressing. I mean, I think you have to go to the person who said it, and you have to say something, because people do have biases. They have experiences and they have biases, and it's just the way it is. And you're not going to really change them. Over time, you might be able to change them when they learn to respect you, but it's not going to happen if you don't say anything.
What exactly would you recommend saying?
I heard that you assumed it was me who
stole the iPad.
And I just want you to know that I am highly responsible and I don't do that. And in fact, and then, you know, rattle off all the great things you have done. You're just going to have to show them that they misread you and made an assumption that they knew you and that wasn't accurate.
Right.
And I wouldn't say it out of anger, more education.
Yeah.
Because I think most biases are based on stupidity.
Right.
Right.
Or lack of information.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a pretty stupid comment to assume that.
But, you know, just to go back to another study.
Oh, I'm so glad she did her homework today.
I am, too. Nice.
At Chicago University, they discovered that anyone who speaks in a different accent from one's own, we find less trustworthy.
See, really? I always find it more interesting. Less trustworthy. Oh, that's so interesting.
I can see that.
Yeah.
Or not as intelligent.
Yeah. Right. Or, you know, people make fun of the telemarketers or the people that they speak to, the tech people who are in other countries, right? And the part of it is you make, if you imitate the accent, whatever it is, right?
You were going to go Indian first, weren't you?
I can feel
it. She was.
I was, but I don't have a very good Indian accent. And, but to that point, that then is less trustworthy. So I guess I'm just saying there is this innate characteristic. It's very hard not to take this kind of thing personally. I would have a very hard time not taking it personally, but I agree with you. I think that whole thing of just confronting it, and not even from a who do you think you are, or what do you think all Latinos are, you know.
No, you have to rise above
it. Not an accusatory kind of.
Well, I think rising above it and coming off it in a more educational way actually sets you apart from them.
Yeah.
And makes them look at you more respectfully. I've had this when I worked in large corporations, just being a different religion. And I confronted it all the time.
Yeah.
And said, I think you have some misunderstandings. I think you, you know, you're grouping everybody as one thing, and no group is like that. That's just not the way it is. And I think when I came off intelligent and I came off kind of above it all, they changed their attitude. Maybe not when I wasn't in the room. You know, maybe they
No, I think that's great because you're challenging their assumptions and you're also disarming them in the sense that you're not silently doing about it. You're coming, you know, you're bringing it to light and saying it in a way like you just, this probably wasn't your intention, but here, let me just tell you the truth of the matter. You seem to be uninformed.
Right.
Yeah. I think the education piece and, you know, just assuming an entire group of people behave in a particular way is really so far from accurate. I mean, it you know, when you phrase it that way, they got to feel like a fool for saying that. It was just sort of a knee-jerk reaction.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just, it's dumb. Mm-hmm. So anyway,
was there any experience in particular you remember that really rubbed you the wrong way?
Yeah, I don't know if I want to say. Not all these parties are deceased. I love to talk about Mr. Cook. He's dead.
Well, I can tell you about Micronesia, where it was assumed. So when I did the Peace Corps and I was on Ponape, it was assumed. This was wild. I had been living with this family for a year and a half of a two-year stint.
Mm-hmm.
And two kids came to the father of the house, who was a wonderful man. But they said to this father that they had seen me riding a Jeep with some American soldiers or something crazy like that.
Mm-hmm.
He literally had me come to the house and said, we hoped it wasn't true, but it sounds like you're being whorish. And we know American women do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I just sat there just stunned.
Yeah.
Like, and there was no convincing him otherwise, except that I burst into tears and couldn't believe it. But the whole town took the lie and assumed it was true. And what I did actually is similar to what we're asking this guy to do. Yeah, it was very, I was shunned for a few days. And then I found the kids who started that rumor and I collared them. I didn't take the high road exactly, but I collared them and brought them to my Ponapean father and said, tell him the truth.
Right.
And then they, you know, they said the whole thing was a fabrication.
Wow.
But there's an example of bias.
Yeah.
Sure.
In a situation where you can't speak up for yourself. And I think it's similar often happens if you're the only one of something.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That it's hard to find your voice or to defend yourself adequately.
I mean, I think minorities always have to work harder to prove themselves because that natural bias is there. And so that's just part of the picture. But I think also to rise above it is your best ammunition and to do what you did, you know, prove it wrong, but to not get angered by it and want to attack back. I think that's the wrong thing to do. I think that does not help the situation.
Going forward, I would imagine this person would probably feel a little less safe in that environment or a little more cautious, wouldn't you imagine?
Well, I mean, I think he has the right to move on also.
Yeah.
I mean, why would you want to hang out with people like that?
Right.
Right.
Except that you have to pay the bill.
Well, I mean,
you find your next
best.
Until
you're bosses, so it's...
Yeah. Right. And then you might want to, you know, make sure that in your interviewing process, you check that piece out. Right.
Yeah.
Not sure how you do that, but it's, you know, it's always a learning lesson to learn, you know, the biases that any particular company or its employees have.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And then you want to try to avoid that so that you could do well.
True. Mm-hmm. Well, the other thing is you have the opportunity to rise above in your own biases or become more aware.
Right.
We all have that opportunity, right?
Right.
It takes practice to catch it.
Well, it's humiliating when you do because you develop them where at home where everybody feels that way in your own community. The people you hang around with maybe all talk, you know, or hold the same biases.
Yeah.
And once you get out and you realize, wow, that's not accurate.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't serving me well. It's hard to deal with that and change.
Yeah.
That's why people stay in their groups, right? Because they don't want to deal with a foreign.
I like my biases reinforced myself on a
daily
basis.
Most people do. Most people want that. It's true. All right. I think that's it for this show.
That is. Please tweet us your stories or your advice about bias to AskK2. And don't forget to review us on iTunes or on
Stitcher.
Stitcher. Thank you. I don't know why I have a hard time remembering that particular name, and join us next time for another My Crazy Office podcast.
My Crazy Office is produced in New York City at K Squared Studios. Stay crazy.